Hey, everybody, welcome to the Jamie Dawn Show. I'm your host, intuitive astrologer Jamie Dawn. As I'm affectionately calling myself now, I'm the nomad crab, where I follow my nose and stars to bring you the latest energetic astrological updates. And we're going to have a particular emphasis on relationships. Hopefully, you guys were able to hear the introduction show that I just recorded, and it is now released on the 22nd here at 1-2 Radio. And if you haven't listened to it, take a moment and at least forward yourself to towards the end, because I'm offering Pluto through the houses, and I did the first four houses. And in this show, I'm going to have a very special guest who I'll introduce in a moment, as well as we're going to go through Pluto from the fifth to the ninth house. So stay tuned for that in this show. But real quick, just a couple of announcements. Remember that you can find me and other fabulous advisors at 1-2 Listen and great shows here on 1-2 Radio. Also, I have my February blog, which is coming out, the Light and Shadow Report. So it'll give you a little bit of an idea what you can expect throughout the month of February as we're getting into the love month. So perfect for relationships there, right? And also, I will be off the grid doing an intensive middle of the month. So if you don't find me at 1-2 Listen, that's why. And without further ado, let me introduce my lovely co-host today, my brother from another mother, Oliver Guttorm, who is also a 1-2 Radio host with the Oliver Show. And he's a 1-2 Listen advisor. And there's so many things that I could say that, well, I will. He's one of my playmates. He's somebody who has always brought out the best in me and can always see some of the things that I can't always see, which is wonderful. He's also a Capricorn, as we call it, sun. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But the Capricorn in him is ready for Pluto to move out of that sign permanently for the next 248 years. And that will actually happen the day before my intro show is released on the 22nd. So January 21st, Pluto, off you go. Small little ingress back into a Capricorn September through November, but we might as well say goodbye to Pluto. So anyways, all that to say, hello, Oliver. Welcome.
Hello, beautiful. Hello, Capricorn. I love it.
You just love it. Oh, my God.
So, you know what? Just because the universe has a sixth sense of humor, I'm going to be reincarnated in 240 years, you know?
I thought we agreed we're not doing the human thing again.
No, we're done. We're done. We're done. Yeah. The computer says no.
Computer says no. Exactly. I want to go to another multiverse, another planet, another, who knows whatever else is out there, you know, something
just
not
just
as
something
hard.
Else.
Yeah, being human is hard.
I want to go to planet bliss. Okay,
all right, I'll follow you there. Oh wait, can I go first this time?
yeah sure. Well, it's planet bliss, you know, we might have so much blissfulness there that we won't even find each other. People are like, hi, you know, like we just like pass each other going, smiling.
Is that why they say going, people when they're high, that's hi. Oh God, that's funny.
Oh,
well,
so we're talking relationships. Yeah. We're talking relationships.
Yeah, but before we jump into that.
Yes.
I want to start by cultivating our heart space, just kind of settling into it and allowing ourselves to just come really present in the moment. As I mentioned in my intro show, I offer some sort of poetry or a quote for contemplation, something that just opens the heart, because as Rumi often says, beauty opens the heart. And so having some sort of words of inspiration, wisdom, maybe there's nostalgia involved, who knows? But what we want to practice is becoming love itself, beyond the present personality and beyond just this human experience, because not negating the human experience, because remember, we have a right to be here. We are human. This is the dream state that we're in. So we might as well play with it, integrate it, enjoy it, not take it too seriously. But when we can come from that open-hearted space, what we can find is that whatever shows up, we meet it very differently. And it can be a beautiful transformative opportunity for us to gain greater wisdom, greater knowledge, greater security. Maybe there's a greater healing that also can take place. So, Oliver, do you have anything that you'd want to open us up with?
Yes. So this is a song by Danny Gokey.
Great.
He was like an, I think it was like a either an X Factor or a voice contestant. Or he used to be, he did a lot of gospel.
Oh, right.
And but then
are you singing this for us or?
Totally, I'm not. But the lyrics to his song called "Tell Your Heart to Beat Again," they're pretty beautiful. And I mean, if you can go listen to it, the song is beautiful. If you can go listen to it, but so part of the lyrics here, which I want to share here, that fits in with the open your heart space, which is really beautiful. It says, "Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday's a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you have been and tell your heart to beat again."
Reread that again.
Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you have been and tell your heart to beat again.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, the song is beautiful too.
It's such a great reminder to be present in the moment, and that it's so hard in relationships in particular when we've been burned to meet the person or the new day in untainted. I mean, we're going to be influenced, or there's that experience that we have, but to be able to meet it in a very different way where we're not constantly regurgitating or living in the past, because how often do we use the past as a weapon against our people, you know, anybody who may have harmed us or whatever. And I think the fine line or the distinction there is that we come back to this place of love, and it doesn't excuse bad behavior. It doesn't mean we stay in a negative situation, but it does mean that we can meet whatever shows up in that moment to speak our truth, right?
Yeah.
And to say, this is what I ultimately need in order to be in relationship with you.
Yeah, I mean, like, oh God, yes, you're so right. So many things have changed in my life over the past 4 to 5 years since my last relationship, which you were very much a big part of. You're like, I'm flying out here again. I think I lived with you for like 6 months.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. And it was a tough one to get over for some reason, which I'm still kind of confused why that was a tough one to get over, but it was, regardless of anything. And I don't mind talking about that. I have now really moved into a different place in my life, partly because I think I live where I'm meant to live now. I mean, just the place where I'm at makes me happy, you know?
Yeah.
And this is one of the reasons why a lot of people, when I was living in Toronto and I talked about moving away, they was like, well, you have to bloom where you're planted, or, you know, the first person you unpack when you move to a new place is yourself, and blah, blah, all those annoying sayings, which I have just discovered have nothing to do with reality. Yeah, of course, I'm the same person that I was when I lived in Toronto, when I came here to Mexico. But the environment that I'm in here right now supports me in such a better way than Toronto ever did, which makes me face every single day, every single challenge in a completely different light, and with a completely different way of seeing how things can unfold. Because I don't have to struggle against depression. I don't have to struggle against being in a place where I feel down most of the time, or I feel my energy is being pulled away from me. But I'm living in a place where I feel more supported, and not necessarily just by friends and people I meet here, but also by the environment and the sun, the beach, the water, the palm trees, you know, everything, you know. And it gives you more energy to face those things that can be challenging. So I don't know if anybody ever says to you, you got to bloom where you're planted. I just have to remind people I was not planted in Toronto. I chose to go there.
Well, you know what? Think about the analogy of plants and nature. If I took a, let's say a magnolia tree, which is common to where I'm from in the East Coast, and planted it here in the desert of Reno, Nevada, it would die within a day because it's dry. It's, you know, unless I tended it and watered it and tried to protect it from all the elements. I mean, the wind here, it can be brutal, you know? So you think about it, we're made of nature. So why wouldn't we want to be planted in a place that we thrive, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
so
you
true.
Think about it, like California, I was going to say the country of California. It's its own place. But anyways, but California actually has agricultural stations set up where you have to come through and declare if like you're not allowed to bring in plants that are indigenous to other places into California because some like the eucalyptus tree, which is, was huge in the Paradise fires and some other wildfires that have taken place in California because the eucalyptus tree is indigenous to Australia, but it got brought over to California and it's like paper. I mean, it, the minute fire touches it, it burns like paper.
Oh,
So,
wow. I didn't know that.
yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, if you stay next to it when it burns, you can just take a deep breath and your lungs will open up like,
No more burning at the stake for me. That was the past life I don't want to repeat.
you're not going to burn at the stake anymore.
No,
of you're just going to you're just going to throw a few spells.
Exactly.
You're going to bring out the inner witch in you, and that's just going to take away everything.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But
well,
I mean, I'm not afraid of relationships anymore. I mean, I really am not. I'm embarking on something that looks like a relationship at the moment, but it I should say, I hope no one is listening. But it's an exciting journey. I still don't know where that's going to lead, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because we're obviously pre-recording the show and Venus is still in Sagittarius, but moves into Capricorn next week after we've recorded and stuff. So when, and I mentioned this in my opening episode, but when Venus is in Capricorn, we have a tendency to take things more seriously. Venus is how we give and receive love and relationships and all that. And so we tend to take things more seriously. We start planning a future. Do we see a future? And with Venus and Sagittarius, oftentimes there can be some inspiration and lightheartedness, but there can also be an over-exaggeration of things or lying can be involved when Sagittarius, when Venus is in Sagittarius. And so not everything is as it appears to be. We don't, you know, we have a tendency to embellish a little bit in certain things, you know, like we get a cold and we think we're dying kind of thing, you know. So I'm wondering for you with relationships in general, if you're noticing any sort of shifts energetically around your philosophy or idea of relationship, and then where do you ultimately want to go in relationships?
Well, that's interesting you're asking that question, but I don't know my philosophy about relationships. Do I have a philosophy around relationship? Yeah, don't get into them. They're really, really, really bad.
That would be a belief system. See, Venus is Sagittarius right now. It's inviting us. What do we believe about relationships?
Well, see, we all want a relationship. I mean, come on. I mean, I would say the number one question I always get from clients is about relationships, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I'm like, And I just, okay, what's my belief around relationship? What is it that I think relationships are wonderful if they work for you. But I also feel that if you're in a relationship where you have to work too hard at them, get the fuck out. Sorry, get out.
You can say fuck on air. Remember, it's internet radio.
I know. I think the last radio show I did, I said fuck a lot.
It's good relationship advice. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I listen to a lot of clients, right? And they try very hard to be in these relationships where I'm like, but you make it sound so hard. Why are you in them?
Right.
I mean, like that's what's going on at the back of my mind. Obviously, that's not what I'm saying because I'm there also as an intuitive coach in that sense and doing my psychic readings. And so I also have to convey what it is that I'm sensing and feeling in that moment about where the relationship might be going and where it's not going. But and for the most part, when I look at these relationships, I know it's just a moment in time where you complain about your partner and that's going to pass and everything's going to go back to normal again and you're going to be fine. I think once you're really first involved with somebody and it seems to be working out, you'll fight for it. You'll do anything. Will it annoy you? Yeah, of course it will. I mean, it's a relationship. Of course there will be something about the relationship that will give you grief one way or the other. Not necessarily always, but I mean, there'll always be something coming up. But I am wondering a lot when I do speak to clients, and I do ask myself, why are you in this relationship? Because it sounds like so much work.
Well, one of the things I have a couple of philosophies about, like, relationship when it first begins, and then just in general, that I don't believe that there's a good or bad relationship, unless, I mean, abuse obviously is not something you stay in. But as far as like the challenges or the conflicts or the difficulties, because every relationship takes work of some sort, but I do think some relationships are easier than others. And you just have to decide how much of that work is important to you. I know for me, in a previous relationship, which you were very much a part of, it was just exhausting. I mean, by the time I ended the relationship, I was like, oh, I can finally breathe and I can sleep. I mean, I spent 6 months in, 2019 just basically recovering because
yeah,
I was
I know that.
so exhausted.
No, you were taking care of me.
No. You were never a burden. Let me put it this way. I was too damn stubborn to let you leave without me. So that was the way it goes.
But isn't that scary that a relationship can get you so far out that you'd rather choose to leave the planet? It's so funny. Before I sat down with you to record this, I was just watching a country music video. Country music, they always slicing their own wrist and everything. The dog died and the truck that broke down and
Wife left them for somebody else.
Oh, this was really good. He walked in on her and she was screwing with another guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excellent.
And he threw himself into drinking and eventually died. I'm like, really? Or won't? I'm serious. I looked at it like, really? Just because I mean, seriously, I would have jumped in and said, hey, let's have a threesome, I'd be like, why are you leaving me out, man? It's kind of cute. I want a piece of that too. But it was funny, because I was like, that was exactly the first thing that crossed my mind. Really? Yeah. He let himself die over that? It's like,
well, I have to
wow.
Tell you, I was in a pretty nasty relationship for 4 years. And there were moments where I wouldn't eat because I was so anxious. I was very self-sacrificing. I played the martyr so good. I mean, it was just, and I remember, now I look back and I go, God, like you, I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking? Why did I let this relationship dictate my happiness, and my well-being?
Well, you remember the last relationship I was in? Why did I suddenly let it dictate my own well-being? Because it actually did. Mind you, I think the first thing I said to you was, I don't blame it on the person.
Sure.
I know this is something that is much deeper than just this is something that needs to be figured out from a much deeper level than just dating somebody. It could have been anybody, right? But I chose that, and this, but the sad thing is, and then going forward into new relationships and exploring new relationships right now, I really don't have time for bull anymore. I just don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very, very quick to say that I don't want this.
But you know what? I think that is perfect segue with, or just tying together with Venus and Capricorn, because when Venus is in Capricorn, she doesn't take prisoners. She's like, you either show up or whatever, I'm leaving your ass behind. We're either on the same page, we're aligned, we're going to do what we're going to do. And if not, bye-bye. Because
Yeah, exactly.
Relationships for Venus and Capricorn are taken very seriously, you know, and there's this feeling of like, we're achieving something together, or I've got a goal in mind when it comes to how I want to be in relationship. And if you don't line up with it, oh, well, because it can get a little cold too, when Venus is in Capricorn. That's the joke of the Capricorn. I mean, you just have, because I mean, for the audience, I'll just, if you're not familiar, that Capricorn is ruled by Saturn. Saturn is our cold, if you will, heavy planet. It's not a negative planet per se, but it
No,
does
it's
bring in
not. It's a cute
reality.
little, this is a cute little granddaddy teaching you lessons.
Yeah, but it's basically the stark reality. But there's a lot of wisdom there. I mean, think about this. Wisdom to me is experience and knowledge put together with good judgment. And we can't have wisdom if we didn't have the experience of our relationships. And Lord knows we have picked some winners. And I think one of the things I will say in, you know, for me, one of my biggest lessons is don't give up in relationship. Don't get bitter and cold and think that you'll never have love again and that you can't find love and all that. It's a process. And you have
Yeah,
to have some
absolutely.
determination, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true. You do have to have determination, and it does take work. But I gotta tell you, I mean, I'm very aware when I sense red flags now. You know,
Oh,
it's
yeah.
as soon as they show up, I don't know. I don't know if it, you can. I don't think I've become bitter. It's just I've become so much more aware.
Great. I think that's beautiful because we often don't know what we want until we experience what we don't want. And, you know, we've obviously experienced that other side of, I don't want a relationship that I get bullied in. I don't want a relationship that I'm manipulated or made to think that I'm less than or whatever. So,
No.
you know,
No,
I don't want a
it's
relationship. I right now in my life, I'll be 50 this year. I don't want a relationship I have to work
no,
that
you're not going
hard.
to be 50. You look
You did
18.
50. Thank you. It's called AI, not Photoshop.
Yeah, you look great for your
Right.
50. You're not 50. Are you really just, am I really only 6 years older than you? I thought I was much older than you.
Oh,
I thought you were like 23.
I love you for that. I have to say though, I like getting it older. I don't have a problem with it. I mean,
Oh,
some things I don't like, but
I have no problem either. You know, I've really decided the older I get, the harder I will look, you know. So
I love it. Like a
good luck with
fine
that.
wine, like a fine wine.
Good luck with that. But it's so funny, I told my thousand. Because I was meeting some people yesterday, and I told them that they were like, "Oh, you're so handsome! You should be a model." I'm like, "I think it's funny, right?" It's my downstairs neighbor. She said, "Were they drunk?" I was like, "Oh, thank you, thank you so much." Yeah, my self-esteem just went up a notch, or maybe down a notch.
Well, let's just say that there's an energy influence right now where we often speak before we think. There's a bit of
Apparently,
impulsivity that happens for most of us. Yeah.
it's actually quite funny.
That
So,
is funny.
but yeah, I yeah. So it's just like, thank you. You made me feel so much better now. That's good.
Well, here's the speaking of relationships as well. Another philosophy that I have is when you start a new relationship, you treat it like a pregnancy. Meaning you've got your first trimester where it's like, okay, we're dating, we're kind of together, but you don't really tell a lot of people. You tell like your closest people that you trust or that you know would celebrate it. And you spend the first 3 months pretty much in this little bubble of you and the other person, right? And then the second trimester, it's like, okay, now we're starting to get a little conflict. There's a little bit of like, can I really be a good parent to this relationship? Can I really make it happen? Oh, they just showed me, maybe it's not a red flag, maybe it's a yellow flag, right? There's something about them that I'm not sure I like, maybe I can. And we kind of do this negotiating thing. And then the third trimester, as we go from the 6 to 9 months, it's really like, okay, I think I can do this, or maybe not. Or if I can, now I can see a future. Okay, now this baby, this relationship is going to be born, more or less. It's going to be out in the world, and we're going to start to plan this future, and we're going to fumble around a little bit and all of that. And so that's kind of my philosophy when I approach a new relationship.
No, I mean that's well, I mean I get that. Yeah, of course there's always the beginning where everything seems possible and then eventually you start questioning the possibilities.
Yeah, of course. Well, because everybody has a shadow, right? And it goes back to what can I accept? Can I accept this about that individual? You know, that I had a moment with my boyfriend when it was probably a good year now, a year and a half ago, where I was processing something and I challenged him and he just couldn't meet me. It was this too much emotional stuff. And I was like, oh, great. He's emotionally unintelligent. And that's not the truth. But in the moment, that's where I went. I was like, fine, I'll never share
Yeah.
stuff with him again. Right.
No, of
Now I
course
backed
not.
off of that because that was my shadow coming in, my protection mechanism, you know, that sort of thing. But there was that
Yeah.
moment that I was like, is this a red flag? Is this something I should pay attention to? And
Yeah.
it would be if it was a pattern. People are gonna fuck up. It just happens, you know. But if you make a pattern out of it, I think that's where you run into some issues.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's where you need to pay attention. I don't know. I mean, I sometimes think I'm the wrong person to ask for relationship advice sometimes, because I've really gotten to that place in my life where I'm like, it's not going to control my life anymore. It's just not. I don't want it. I mean, of course I'm human, so I can't help not let my emotions and feelings be shown sometimes. And of course it do concern me at times, but I don't want it to, I don't want it to control my life. As I said to the current person that I'm interested in at the moment, and I said, you know what? I don't really have time for, I live a good life. I mean, I really do, I mean, I sort of have everything I need. I can't allow this to dictate me. I said, so be there or be not.
Well, as they say, relationship with another individual, they should be the flowers on your table, not the air you breathe.
Okay. I
That's
have
my,
no flower.
I
I
like
don't
that
have any
idea.
flower. I have candle holders on my table right
Well,
now.
for you, they should be the beach or the sunset that you admire.
I like the sunset. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in other words, as I can pick it apart, it basically is the relationship should be something that opens the heart. Beauty opens the heart. It allows you to appreciate them, allows you to appreciate the relationship, not become the very air you breathe, because what happens, obviously, if we don't have air?
Well, yeah, you die.
Yeah. And that's what we were talking about before, about how dramatic we've been in our past relationships with, you know, allowing us to even go down that path of like, I can't live without this person. Well, yeah, you can, and one day you will, or they'll live without you, because we all have a death sentence. And that's me being a little crapicorn now as well. But
Do you honestly think that has anything to do with being a Capricorn?
no, I'm just being silly. I'm blaming
No,
planets. What did I do?
no, it's a good question, because I'm sitting at sitting going, I actually feel that what you're saying right now makes so much sense. I don't think you have to be any other thing other than just, I've come to a place in my life where now I see things differently.
Of course.
And that
Well,
happens
that's
to us,
absolutely. Well, I mean, here's the thing. You've had Pluto crossing your sun for years, and then now it's, I mean,
Like 200 years.
it's still making aspects into other things in your chart and all that. And I mean, Pluto's a planet of transformation, and so
I'm
it's had to
done.
transform the
I'm
way in
done.
which you operate, for sure.
I'm done now. Seriously,
Yeah.
get that freaking planet out of my sign. I don't care. I mean, can you just reduce it to a dwarf planet again, or a satellite, or a tiny little thing? Just kick it away like it was before.
Well, as a reminder to the audience, the planets don't make us do anything, but the exterior influences, if you will,
Well, the
we.
funny the okay, sorry, I'm interrupting.
It's okay. Go ahead.
No, you
I was
were
just going to say, when exterior circumstances show up, those are out of our control. And Pluto represents what we fear most because we don't have control over it.
okay.
So, and think about this, Pluto was transiting your fourth house. So for the last 19, 16 years. And you think about fourth house has to do with home, belonging, family, our psychological roots. You think about all the transformation that's happened for you in the last 16 years with home, with who is family, where do I belong? What do I really believe about myself? Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you've had exterior circumstances with your health, with being in Toronto and being miserable, traveling the world, really looking for that place. And then here you are in Mexico in the last, what, 3, 4 years now?
Oh,
That
2 years, 2 years.
two years. And Pluto exiting Capricorn, where you finally found what feels like home.
Yeah. I
So,
apologize to any listeners out there, Jamie, that if there's a lot of noise here.
a lot of noise?
Oh, you don't hear it?
No.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Yeah, no,
Yeah,
all
no.
good.
Yeah, I know my roommate decided to come and make lunch while I was doing the radio show
Oh,
in the
that's
kitchen.
okay.
Because this is my office in the kitchen, because I don't
Right.
have an office, right? So this is my kitchen. So I just want to say, if you hear any noise in the background, I apologize.
That's okay. I mean, that's the
Yeah.
gift of COVID, you know, is that now we get inside people's living rooms and they're wearing sweatshirts and you see their kids
Yes,
running in.
true.
I'm telling you, all the calls that I do video, I mean, I've been introduced to more people's kids and their animals than ever before. But I guess it's no different than bring your kid to work day, or I used to bring Diesel to the
That
office, you know?
that's true. I remember you doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. I had
Yeah, I will
Rosie here
bring
yesterday.
when I get Marco Polo back, he'll come with me everywhere too.
Yeah, exactly. And I
So
think people also want to be a part of your daily life, or they want to be a little bit more
course.
intimate to help connect with you. You know, gone are the days of that stoic, like I have all this private life. I mean, I do, but you know, not so.
No, it's just that, I sit here and for me it sounds really loud, right? But so I'm
Yeah.
happy you can't hear anything. I mean,
No.
even they're playing racquetball on the other side here over at the
Oh.
stadium. So that's pretty loud too, but obviously it's not coming through. That's good.
You've got a good
It's good.
setup going on there.
Apparently, no, this is the only place I can sit and do my stuff at the moment.
Yeah.
Because as I
So
said, yeah.
I want to get into Pluto through the houses 5 through 9, because it may take us a little bit. I'd love your commentary and intuitive pieces on this as well. So
Okay.
and this is great for the audience as well, because astrology is just another divination tool, like tarot, numerology, you name it. It invites us to interpret through our intuition using symbols and glyphs.
Yeah.
And so again, you don't have to be an astrologer to, when I'm talking about some of the astrological pieces, to still and use your intuition and interpret what you might think and feel. So as a reminder, excuse me. Oh, I need to take a drink.
I'll drink to that.
I'll drink to that. Water. Pluto in the houses, Pluto is about relationship. That's the emphasis, our relationship to power. Pluto has a psychological effect on us. We often think that, when we're dealing with the planets, that there's something physical that's happening. And it's really psychological, because what we believe and our psychological mindset towards whatever shows up tends to drive our behavior. So keep that in mind. But Pluto in the house is relationship to power, control, our fears, transformation. How do we relate to these things? And in the fifth house, and since I love that I'm able to do fifth house with you, Oliver, because you've got Pluto now ingressing into your fifth house. So
For like
your
the next
relate
500 years.
yeah, about 19. So
What?
19. Because it takes Pluto anywhere from 16 to 20-ish years to go through a sign. Because it takes a total of 248 years for Pluto
I thought it
to
left me
circle
for
all the way
good. I
around.
thought it left me for good.
Pluto doesn't leave any of us for good. It's just leaving your fourth house.
I was right on
So,
my son.
yeah, the sun aspect is done for a while. You don't have to worry about that for the next 20 years. You don't have much of an aspect to it. It's a semi-square,
Okay.
but anyway.
I don't
but
like
you,
it.
I know, I know. Well,
I'm gonna kick Pluto out of orbit.
here's a nice reminder for the audience, and that is, and for you, is that there's light and shadow to everything. So the thing about Pluto and transformation and power and all of that is that it also invites us, like I say, the relationship to power, meaning for fifth house, so I'll go into that, it's about creative expression. It's about where you find pleasure, where you play. It has to do with casual relationships, sex, that sort of thing. It's really, and it also has to do with children or youthfulness. So when you think about your relationship to the youthful side of you, where you play, how you play, do you work as hard as you play? Have you been playing too much, right? You need to work more. That's the kind of stuff that you'll be playing with.
I've been playing a little bit too much lately.
Okay. And creative expression. You're a creative. You're an actor by trade. You're a radio producer, show host, and you do your video clips and you're right. You're an amazing writer. I mean, you watch some of that could come back to you and you find this new way of doing it and transformative way of doing it transforms you as well as others. Because, but here's the thing. I joked you, I said in a joke, but I gave you that theme of you get paid to play.
Yes, you did.
There you go. That's what
Is that what
Pluto
is that
in
in
fifth
fifth
house is
house?
going to invite you to do.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Find
Okay,
ways to play.
you can stay Pluto. It's fine.
Now, remember the shadow side is that there's a heaviness or there's a fear about, okay, let's just bring writing back. So let's just say you decide to jump back into the books that you were going to be writing, your trilogy, right? Well, there could be a fear, a self-doubt that shows up that says, what if this is a flop? What if I get writer's block? What if I don't have the right editor? Whatever, right? So those are the kind of things
I'll
that
get a
could stop you.
ghostwriter. I'll get a ghostwriter.
There you go. Yeah, you find a way to transform it. It's innovative because it's in Aquarius. So you're doing things differently than you did before.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's true. No, I get that.
Yeah.
No, I totally get that. But I think the fear that you're talking about is wonders there, whether Pluto is in your fifth house or not. I mean, there's always that fear. Is it going to be a flop? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? I think, you know, it's so funny because one of the things I do think I've learned over the past couple of years is I don't worry so much about that anymore as I used to.
Yeah.
Like it's like we joke about about the thing that, you know, we have no fucks to give, you know,
Yeah.
because it's like our favorite word these days. And in a way, that is true. I mean, you get to a point in your life where you've been through so much. And I have. I mean, God knows. And you know that. You've been a witness to it. I have gone through a lot over the past 16 years or whenever with that Pluto in my house. I almost
For
freaking
sure.
lost my life, you know, probably more
Yeah.
than once. But the one that I really know of, right? So,
Yeah.
yeah. That's
For
just
sure.
one aspect of it, you know, and all the moving I've done and
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
traveling and been everywhere and yeah.
Well, one of the things about Pluto is, remember, Pluto's the god of the underworld. And so we have to face our fears. We have to go into the depths of what we fear. And you pass through the gate, if you will. You face the fear. You beat the dragon. What's on the other? What's the dragon protecting? Treasure. So you face your fears and you find the treasure on the other side, just like you did with Mexico.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm the dragon.
We are. We're our
Protecting my
worst
treasure.
enemy. Exactly. We're our worst enemy half the time.
But we're
So,
protecting our treasures.
Yeah. All
I'm
right. So,
protecting you. You're my treasure.
Pluto in the sixth house, so transiting into the sixth house, this is where changes and transformations around work, around our health, probably coworkers, individuals that you may find a shift in your career, your daily routines often shows up. So what if you're in a mundane, boring job that you're just like, God, I could kill myself today if I have to go in the office again or talk to these people again or whatever. Or the positive is maybe you want a promotion, maybe you want more responsibility and in order to grow and have some self-improvement. Well, you may have to face that imposter syndrome or that fear of, can I actually do this? You know, if there's a health issue that could pop up here too, physical health, where, you know, as they say, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. So you may
True.
have to find ways to create a healthier lifestyle or to face something, you know, finding a solution to a chronic pain or chronic illness that you might have had. So those are
Yeah.
some things that could show up. And You may find yourself in a very unusual, because of the Aquarian energy, a very unusual daily work life. Maybe some of you become astrologers. Maybe some of you decide you go into computers or AI, augmented reality, all those sort of things that could show up. What do you intuit, not just Pluto, but the general feeling and intuition, what advice maybe you would give somebody who's dealing with health stuff or...
Well, I mean, what they say, the prevention is always the best, right? So when it comes to health, I think preventing it from coming to full fruition is to pay attention to yourself. And I'm going to say something that's going to make me very unpopular. Don't listen to the doctors.
Yeah. Well, that's very innovative.
I think that because right now I have little faith in doctors. I mean, we need them. I mean, of course. And some of them, they're doing great jobs, but I don't believe in big pharma. I think that is all corrupt. So I think the more you can do in prevention of staying healthy, pay attention to what you eat and keep going, keep in shape, if you can, keep your weight down and not too much smoking, not too much drinking, all those. I mean, you can't run away from all of it, right? But I think prevention is the best, and definitely follow your intuition on where you need to be and what you need to do. I mean, don't be too stupid about it either, you know, because sometimes, I mean, if I broke my leg, I'm not going to go to a natural healer, you know. I'm probably going to go to the hospital first, you know, get my leg fixed, you know.
Right.
I'm not going to go to an acupuncture. Could you please fix my leg? You know, I don't think that would be a smart idea. But so yeah, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, it's all needed. But listen to your intuition and keep yourself going. I mean, I love naturopaths. I do. I have a tendency to go and get diagnosed by a Western doctor, and then I go to my naturopaths afterwards, tell them what's wrong with me, and then we come up with a solution.
Yeah.
With all the side effects and everything else. And I have had great success with that.
Yes, you have.
Really. Yeah. But that's mostly because I'm not a big fan of taking pills and all that. So
yep, you're right on target. I think that's beautiful advice, is not necessarily don't listen to doctors, but don't treat doctors as if they have all the answers and that they're
that's pretty much where I was going with I really wanted to go with it. Don't treat them like they are the know-all be-all, because God knows they also make mistakes, and actually a lot of them make a lot of mistakes,
right?
You know,
and everybody's different. What works for one isn't necessarily going to work for everybody else.
And as I said, you know, going to a naturopath for me worked really well. It may not work for other people's, you know.
Right.
But I've had great healing done because I chose to see a naturopath without all the side effects from medication and everything else, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So, yeah. And you know, if you already start taking one pill, comes with so many side effects that you have to take another pill, and then you have to take another pill, and then eventually, you know, you're taking many pills every single
because
day.
The side effects of one pill offsets the side effects of another.
Yeah. Absolutely. I know, first, to a certain extent, it's very unpopular to say those things, but I mean, listen to your gut, listen to your heart, listen to what makes sense for you. I mean, and it has to make sense for you. That's why I believe in medical freedom. You know, I don't think any of us should be coerced into doing anything we're not ready to take or be injected with. Right. I think that's why I believe in medical freedom. And you have the right to decide what you do with your own body.
Right. Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Seventh house. Seventh house is about partnership. It's about relationships. It's not just marriage, but that is part of it, because it's contracts and open enemies. It's a other view. So it's more about who we partner with, whether it's personal or professional, what kind of contracts are we willing to sign. It's not the depth of the eighth house, which I'll get to in a minute, but it's really more about how we view our current somewhat superficial relationship of like, can I actually partner with this person? Or if you're already in a bonded relationship, is this still in alignment with where we're going, right? And so with Pluto, transiting the seventh house, relationships of all sorts are going to be transformed. And there could be some unresolved issues that need to be confronted. That's not always comfortable. There could be some power struggles that show up with Pluto here. But what that can do is it helps to dissolve any contract, if you will, whether it's a soul contract, whether it's a emotional, mental, whether it's financial contract, whatever it might be. It'll dissolve the old patterns that aren't working. But with this transit, there could be some pretty intense emotions that come up, but there's a need for purging some of these patterns. And that's not always easy, right? So it's going to be important to, I would say communication is king with Pluto transiting that seventh house for partnerships. If you haven't anchored into what is true for you, what you, you know, knowing what is, well, I'll say it this way, Tatiana, my daughter, she put me onto this quote. I can't remember the psychologist's name now, but she basically said boundaries are, or walls are there to keep people out. Boundaries are there to help others know how to be in healthy relationship with you. And so I think that's going to be a big theme with Pluto transiting that seventh house. What about you? Where do you go with relationships?
Well, I think a lot of people over the next little while here, well, let's just say because Pluto is going in there for the next 20 years. So wherever it lands in your house, I do believe that, you know, we are going to see different relationships happening. And I do feel and sense that those relationships, they are going to have a great impact on people. It's interesting that you say relationships, because if I tie that into world events, because a lot of people, they're afraid of what's going to happen in the world around us, right? I feel that we're moving into a place in the world where you're going to see more humanitarian things pop up, where people are not going to be fooled anymore. They're not going to be pushed around anymore by anything that looks like the elite or whatever you want to call it. I think people are waking up, and I think you'll see a lot of goodwill from people.
Yeah.
And I think that ties into relationship also the way we treat each other in the future. It's going to be from, as you said, from a boundary point of view. You don't have to build those walls anymore, but you are going to learn how to tell people you can own, like, the healthy boundaries where you can only go so far.
Right.
You know?
I love that. Love it. Well, and it's a perfect segue into Pluto in the eighth house, because once we're in relationship, then the eighth house is all about intimacy and union and deeper. It's called the house of death and taxes, but that's really because if you think about it, death is that gateway to liberation. It's the thing that we face as our fears, and we realize on the other side of that it's something deeper and something more powerful and more strongly bonded. And so it's a union house where we're in a relationship. Well, now we want to go deeper into this union with this person. That's why it's also considered the sex house, because when we know sex. That, well, I mean, really it is. I mean, fifth I house is that. More casual sex, but eighth house is about the little death. I mean, that's what orgasm means, is the little death, right? And part of that is because that life force for just that moment is released and you have nothing but bliss, right? Why do you say, oh God? Anyways, just joking. that's a bad joke. So
I don't know. I mean, people are different.
But I think what we'll be facing with Pluto in the eighth house is we're going to be facing our fears around intimacy, around going deeper and creating stronger bonds with someone or something that we've been passionate about. There's a lot of psychological healing that can take place, but there's a challenge here to actually face those emotional baggage. There's also a possibility where we've been in abusive relationships, or we've been in relationships that are toxic, that finally we're forced to release them in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I remember the movie Private Benjamin with Goldie Hawn. And when her husband dies on her while they're having sex, and she's being told, what was his last word? And she says, oh God.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
Either it was that or I'm coming or whatever, something like that. It was funny. But anyway, yeah, for me, it ties into relationships as well. You know, obviously, if we talk about sex, well, unless you just want to have sex with yourself, you know. There's this comedian from Australia. Her name is Kitty Flanagan. So someone segment with her on YouTube the other day, and she said, "I wanted to know what it was like to have a penis, so I got one." And the guy who interviewed her said, "What? Yeah, I got a penis." So she brought a dildo to work, and she brought it everywhere. It was hysterical. She
Excellent.
said, "Yeah, she used it for just about anything, you know, and then finally she threw it away."
Okay.
Anyway, it's only funny if you watch it. Okay, Kitty Flanagan on YouTube. But
Mm-hmm.
yeah, I think that it's part of what, like, because we could take things so seriously. I think that's one of the reasons why I bring up humor, you know, because we can take it so seriously, right? Where if we don't make room also to laugh at it and laugh at ourselves, then it's just like, and I think that part of, I mean, can sex be serious? Yeah, I suppose it can. All depending what you're into. And which is hysterical because I had this guy the other day, a straight guy, he's really overweight and whatnot, and I said to him, "You know, I really like you, you know." And he said, "Yeah, I know you want to fuck me." I said, "Just because I'm gay, I do also have taste." He said, "Ouch, that was rude." I said, "No, you were rude. You just assumed that I want to fuck anything that has dick, and I'm sorry, I don't."
It's true. Well, I mean, that's a perfect point, and we don't need to make assumptions. Eighth house is about going deep into the intimacy, but it requires trust. So if you've got
Exactly.
Pluto entering your eighth house, you're going to be challenged with issues of trust. So be aware of
So
that.
that was right on point. I mean, it's not my job to sit and worry about your feelings because you started it.
Guess
In all
what?
honesty.
We're at the end of the show.
What happens in the ninth house? It just has to
Well, no,
wait.
we're going 5 through 8. The 9th through the 12th will be in my next show.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I
Okay, I
misspoke
just.
earlier when I said 9th. I did mean we were going into the 9th house. We were finishing at the 9th. So,
Okay. Well,
yeah,
this has been fun.
it is
And
fun.
congratulations on your new show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back. Where are people going to find you?
I don't know, in Mexico.
Okay.
Well, I'm always one to listen. Always happy to talk to anybody who would like to get advice or anything. Well, advice mostly. I don't know where anything came from because I really have nothing else to offer than advice when you get over there. Tarot cards. I do tarot cards. I'll do a little bit of astrology, but then I also use my intuition. And then, of course, my radio show, which is has now moved to Wednesdays,
Very cool.
just before Raven's rabbit hole. Sorry.
I love it. I love it. And I love you. And thank you for
I
being part
love
of
you
this
too.
show. And we're going to do this again. It's been fun. And
Absolutely.
all right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned for all the other great shows here at 1-2 Radio. And come find me at 1-2listen.com. Take care.